Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, we're digging back into the mailbag because there's just so many interesting things people ask me, and I think you need to hear them. So we're going to go ahead and dig in. First one's an email somebody sent to me that was complaining that the government doesn't tell the truth about inflation. It was really a complaint. Why doesn't the government tell us the truth? And they sent me an article and a chart. And they were saying that whatever it is the government uses to tell you that the inflation rate is now, you know, 4% or 3.5% or whatever it is, and that it was 9% at one time, is all hogwash, that's not true at all. And this whole article was about that. And some of the things they cite here is in January of 2020 compared to January 2024. So that's 4 years later, right? And they're talking about orange juice is up 43%, coffee is up 28%, white bread is up 33%, eggs are up 100%, chicken is up 60%. So you take 60% divided by 4, you take 100 divided by 4, it's 25% a year, right? So they go down all these different things. They've got beef is up 40%, rice is up 50%, lettuce is up 50%, tomatoes are up 33%, potatoes are up 50%, milk is up 50%, bananas are up 50%, Cheerios is up 43%, bologna is up 43%, cream of mushroom soup is up 50%, and the total of all of these is an average of 46% increase over 4 years, which is about 10% a year. So that's what this whole article is arguing, that there's no way that they're saying inflation is 4%. It's actually that. In fact, I don't even see gas on here. Gasoline is just obviously one of the biggest ones. I mean, when I was a kid, gas was 10 cents a gallon. So what am I saying to you? None of that matters to me. Okay, I really don't care if the government lies about inflation. What I do care about, however, is that inflation is ever present. It's a real thing, right? And that means something to me. It means that the investments that I chose over the last 35 years have been the right investment to make because of inflation. What am I talking about? Real estate is an inflation-adjusted investment. The values of the real estate go up over the long haul. Rents go up over the long haul, which is the income component of this business. Of course, expenses go up also. But I would have you just think about this for a second. I'm going to make a number up. An apartment complex that makes $300,000 a year income has $200,000 a year expenses and $100,000 a year of net operating income, that which you get to keep. If you go up by 100%, right, and I'm just going to take a pen out here and write this down because I'm making this up as I talk. So we've got 300 income, 200 expenses, 100,000 net operating. Net operating income is what you get to keep if you had no debt service on it, and that's just the income of the investment. Now let's say there's a 100% increase over that 4 years. That now makes us $600,000 in income, $400,000 expenses. Yeah, the expenses double also. And so that makes it $200,000. Now, the value of the apartment complex is based on its net operating income. So if this were being sold at a 10 cap rate, which is very low, that would make the first one worth $1 million, and 4 years later, it would be worth $2 million. Now, you think about that. We buy real estate because we can buy it below what it's really worth. That's our goal. Make the money on the front end. We buy real estate because we know how to operate it correctly. If we operate it correctly, we can increase that income without inflation and make it go from $1 million in value to $2 million in value. Now think about it. If we bought this first one for $1 million and we put 25% down, we have $250,000 in the deal, and it goes up $1 million in 4 years, we had 250, we went up $1 million. That's 400% return, right? But what if we weren't great operators? What if we didn't buy it below market and there was this inflation that this article is talking about, this 10%, you know, per year inflation? Well, then our value is going to go up and we're going to make money. So when I first started buying single family houses, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1-car garage, or 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage, cost around anywhere between $25,000 and $40,000. Those houses today cost somewhere between $200,000 and $300,000. If I just would have bought the 100 houses that I purchased, and I think it was like 106 was the most I ever had at one time, and held on to those, I would still be a multi-millionaire. And I didn't do that because of something we'll come up with later on in the show today, the fact that at some point houses become tedious because there's so many of them, they're spread out all over the place. Having 100 houses spread out all over the place is tedious. I had a solution to that, which I may go into later, but right now I'm trying to stick on this article here, and that is inflation is a good thing for a real estate investor. We're buying stuff and it's going up in value. The reality is real estate is an inflation-adjusted investment. Let's see what the next email says here. Brian says, I've been to a few 2 days now and I'm ready to purchase something. I heard through a lender that the rules have changed for refinancing. He said that we now have to wait a year to refinance a property. If that is true, then the strategy of buying, rehabbing, and renting and pulling your cash out to buy another slows those of us that don't have large amounts of cash to buy down quite a bit. This is where we're at now. Respectfully, Brian. So, yes and no. The rule that he's talking about isn't really the rule that we use. I'll try to explain this to you out there. There's many different types of loans, and one of the loans is a refinance, cash out refinance, where we can take the property and buy it, rehab it, whatever, and let's just say we paid cash for it to be a simple process right now. And the ability to be able to refinance it and pull that cash back out used to be able to occur in two ways. One, you could do it right away, as soon as you bought it, rehabbed it, and take out 75% of the appraised value, which you can still do. But the second one is where you actually have not financed, or you have financed the property in some way, shape, or form, and now it's worth more, and now you're trying to refinance and pull the money out. You used to be able to do that in 6 months. Now it's 1 year. So there is that slowing of that process. But that's not what we do. And I'm going to try to explain what we do. What we do is we go out and find a house that's worth $200,000. We buy it for $100,000. You go, Del, this is, you can't do that. Well, we do it. I get that. You can't find that deal. Your real estate agent can't find that deal. You know, it's not out there. Your brother, your cousin, your best buddy, your real estate agent can't find that deal. We find them every day, okay? This is what we do. For 35 years, this is what we've done, right? Prices get higher and the deals get more expensive, but it's still the same process. So listen carefully. We go buy, find a house that's worth $200,000 after repair, but it's in such bad shape, nobody will buy it. So we buy it for $100,000 because it's terrible. Then we put $50,000 worth of repairs into it. That nobody would buy this house for $100,000, put 20% down, and then put $50,000 repairs, have $70,000 in this house, and then have to spend a month to rehab it before they could even use it. Right, so they're losing a month's worth of time with this thing, interest-wise, tax-wise, whatever, without paying the money. But that's not what we do. What we do is we go to a hard money lender who will give us 75% of the after-repaired value. So the value is $200,000 after it's repaired. They'll lend us $150,000. So what do we have in it? We have nothing in it, right? So when we get to the end of the rehab, we don't want to stay in the hard money loan, though. We want to get to a regular loan with lower interest rates, regular Fannie Mae loan. So what we do is something called a rate and term refinance. What that means is we're not doing a cash out refinance, which is the one you now have to wait a year for. Used to be 6 months. We're doing a rate and term refinance. In other words, whatever the hard money loan is, we're just refinancing that loan. That would be the same thing like right now. If you had a loan on your house that was 8% interest and they said, we can get you, 6% interest. You just refinance it. You're not pulling any money out. You're just taking the loan that you have and getting rid of it for a better loan. That's called a rate and term refinance. You can do that at any time. There's no time limit on rate and term refinances. So in this particular case, as soon as the rehab's done, the tenant is in, we turn around, go back to the bank, and do a rate and term refinance and get you out of the hard money loan. Now, we don't pull any more of your money out. So let's say that with closing costs and everything, we had to come up with $10,000. Remember, they lent us $150,000, but there's still closing costs and so forth on both loans, $5,000 at each loan, so to speak. That means you're going to have to come up with $10,000 out of your pocket, and it's going to stay in that property. It's going to stay in that property for at least a year. But think about this. It's worth $200,000 right now, but we can't get that out for a year. But we got positive cash flow for a year. And the positive cash flow is pretty extreme. Let's say, for instance, if you have $500 a month positive cash flow, that's $6,000 a year. $6,000 a year on a $10,000 investment, 60% return. Let's say it's half that. It's only a 30% return. Let's say it's a third of that, right? And it's only a 20% return. In any case, you'd rather have that $10,000 a year money stuck in a house making that kind of return. And then a year later, if the property actually goes up in value. Now, remember this. You can only borrow out a maximum of 80% of the value of the loan, of the home. So there's really no way, if you've already got a loan that's 75% of the value, that you're going to have, after refinance costs and everything, a large amount to take out unless the value in the neighborhood went up a lot during this first year. So the strategy that he envisions isn't the strategy we use, right? Over a period of time, the strategy he's discussing is available. In other words, to go get the equity out of these houses. But it's not going to be, we're going to do one house and then we're going to refinance out the equity to do the second house. No, we're going to just, once you figure out how to make these large amounts of money, once you figure out how to put additional cash flow in your life, we're going to find that we can save easier. We understand what we're doing. We're going to pull money out of our 401k. We're going to pull money out of our IRAs. We're going to pull money out of our personal residence. Stuff where you've just got money laying around wasted. Like this week, I just saw a deal where they've got a special on reselling your ATVs of an all-terrain vehicle, four-wheel type deal. I bought it. Never used it. Thought I was going to have fun. All my friends were buying these things and Jeeps and off-road stuff. I just never found the time for it. Put it on a trailer, haul it somewhere, get out, drive it, get it all money, put it on back on there. Sounds like fun, right? Nah, I missed that game completely. What I should have done is every time I've ever gone on vacation, I've rented one of these things and loved it to death. Had great time. Got into it. It ran. Broke down. They took it. Gave me another one. When it was done, drive it back, get out of it. They put gas in it. They clean it. They fix it. They do it. That's the way to use an ATV. Do not own your own. Do not go out there and put all the money into this thing. So I'm going to sell it back and get rid of it. I'll lose some money on the deal, of course. This is one of my dumb ideas, right? Go get an ATV. Didn't work. Didn't work out for me. So what I'm saying to you is when you start seeing the money, what the money can actually do for you, you're going to look at those dumb things you bought. They're wasting your money, and you get out there and figure out, how can I get that money back from these things? And that's what you're going to want to do. All right. Next one, I've only got just a short period of time here for this one. It says, how can we, in 30 minutes of a valuable time, discuss how we can increase our rate of speed of improvement? All right, we'll talk about that when we come back. How can you increase the rate and speed of your growth in an investment? We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Want to retire in 5 years or less? You can do it, just like Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa.
So we started passively. It was on vacation is when we realized we really need to take the plunge and be more active in this. Just because I'm an educator, I wanted to really know what I was doing. So it was just education on my part is really big and knowledge. And I'm like, well, I could do that.
Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024. Join and learn for just $297 with Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Wamsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And as we went to break, we had an email here where the person was asking, how can we move faster? So the email reads, I'm hoping that you can spare 30 minutes of your valuable time to discuss how we can achieve our goals sooner rather than later. I want to move faster, but at this point, I'm constrained due to my DTI, which is debt to income ratio. I still have about $200,000 at my disposal, not including $350,000 in my HELOC. I would love to get your perspective on how to get around this obstacle and get to our goal in real estate retirement faster. Well, guys, it happens. It's the natural progression of a real estate investor. If you ever get to the point where you're making a lot of money or you have already saved a lot of money, it doesn't make sense to go out and buy one rent house at a time. Good stuff. Hey, no doubt, good stuff, but you won't see me doing it. Why not? The incredible rates of return. I know, but it's one house at a time. And every one of those houses need to be managed. Now, you can hire people to manage your houses for you, especially if you live out of town. You don't want to do it. But most people don't. They just manage it themselves because there's not a lot to do with a rent house, right? But when you have 100 of them, now not much to do times 100 is a lot to do. It's something to do. It keeps you busy. And at some point, you're going to need to make the transition to apartment complexes. What's different about apartment complexes is that the first apartment complex I owned that was large enough to hire a full-time manager and a full-time maintenance man was a 64-unit apartment complex. I'd owned 10 units with managers. I'd owned 20 units with managers and part-time maintenance men. If I owned 30 units, which had a manager and a part-time maintenance man. But not until I got to 64 units did the numbers really make sense to have a full-time manager and a full-time maintenance guy. But my gosh, did my life change at that point. The whole world changed. It changed for a couple of reasons. One is that I didn't have to get up and go to work. I didn't have to take care of any of this stuff. I make one phone call in the morning, call the manager, hey, we got any issues today? Nah, everything's fine. Okay, what do we got? Do we get some lease? Yeah, we got some people coming in, blah, 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 whatever. Maybe I get a call from the manager, hey, we've got a water heater that's broken or something. Can we buy a new one? Yeah, go ahead. You know, whatever. There could be like, hey, we're thinking about, you know, seasonal landscaping colors. Do you want to come by and get involved? And, you know, you might say, yeah. You might say, no. Just go ahead and do it. The bottom line is my life, I got it back. And 64 units was half the number of total single-family houses I had. And I had taken all that burden off of me that I was managing, and now I had a manager and a maintenance man. And it's amazing what having a full-time maintenance man means is that you don't have to go call a maintenance company. You don't call an AC company anymore. You've got your AC guy right there. You don't call your plumber anymore. You've got your plumber right there. You've got all these things that they can do, almost everything. And in the apartment industry, what happens is that the maintenance man, at least this is Texas now, I don't know about the rest of the world, but in Texas, they don't have to have a license. You don't have to have a plumber's license or electrician's license or anything. You can go in there and what you own, you can repair. Right? If you own it, it's your business, you can repair it. Now, you can't go out and be an AC guy for the next door neighbor without a license, but what you own, you can repair. So we own this inside of an LLC as our company. We can fix it without paying the exorbitant price of having a plumber or an AC guy. Let me give you an example. We call an AC guy out, and he wants to replace a capacitor or a hard start kit. That's the thing that has stores the electricity that gives the motor of the air conditioner enough power to turn on. Because you just turn it on, you'll pop a breaker. It takes too much to start these things. So you have these capacitors that store the electricity, and when you turn them on, boom, they pound it with electricity. To have someone come out and replace one of those is going to, first of all, cost you probably $75 for a service call. And then the capacitor itself, they'll sell it to you for about $250. Now, if you have your own AC guy, your own maintenance guy, it costs you $20, $30 an hour. So if the guy goes over and fixes it, theoretically it's costing you $30. But you can buy the capacitor wholesale with his air conditioning license for $10. So you're saving $250 at least in this transaction. You multiply that by 64 units of air conditioning repair each year, and AC guys, maintenance guys, pay for themselves instantly. It's an incredible deal. Now, that's on the operational side, why you would upgrade and go to apartments. The other side is the ability to change the value of properties. I bought a property for 64 right across the street. I bought one for 68 units. One at 64 units was really in bad shape. And my maintenance guy and I used to like to do repair stuff. We did some repairs. I'd go over and get him set up and get him started and say, okay. And I actually had an assistant for him, and the assistant would help him. And we'd build stuff. We renovated the apartment ourselves. But across the street, a guy bought this property, and he did about $500,000 to $1 million worth of renovations. He fixed everything. From the studs out, it was all brand new. All new countertops, new cabinets, new appliances, new electrical boxes, new air conditioners, new furnaces. Everything was brand new. This guy overbuilt this property. And what was interesting is that when he got ready to sell it, because he knew nothing about operations, this guy was he was an engineer and a professor. So he knew everything about building stuff, knew nothing about operating a business. So he had rents that were $100 a month less than mine. My property was old. His property was brand new, and my rents were $100 a month more than his. His property was occupied at 80%. My property was occupied at 95%. So he couldn't sell it for what it was worth. In fact, he couldn't even sell it for what he had in it. Put a loan on it, paid for the renovations to get his money back out of the deal, and so he was basically even on it, but he couldn't sell it for anything more. Because by the time somebody bought it, they couldn't get a loan for the price he wanted for it. It just wouldn't work. So what I did was I went over there and I assumed his loan to get him out of the deal. He just wanted out. He didn't have any idea how to operate an apartment complex, and he didn't want to learn. He was, an engineer and a professor. He had no desire to learn how to operate a business. He just wanted to build something. Made him feel good. So I went over and assumed his loan and gave him $327,000, and I put it on 27 credit cards. So I had zero in the deal. I just assumed his loan and gave him cash. I could have given him my own cash, but I actually was trying to have fun putting it on these 27 credit cards because I wanted to prove that it could be done, right? So I went to the banker, at the time was First Bank, and they sold to Wells Fargo. But I went to the bank president, and I said, look, I'm going to do this thing. It's crazy. I just want to be able to prove. I want a banker to admit that I did this as, proof that I can manipulate money. And so I put it on the 27 credit cards. I bought it. And then I took the manager from across the street and gave that manager that property and said, look, just run it like this one. They're already 100 below us, but we should get 50 more than what we're getting because everything's brand new. So the manager went to work on that and to filling it up. And what happened over about a year and a half, 2 year period of time, let's just do a little set of numbers here. Go back to the online calculator. And it says here that if you take 68 units times $150 a door increase, that's $10,000 a month times 12 months. That's $122,000 a year. Now, if you just take a cap rate of, I think at the time cap rates were about 8 divided by 0.08, that made the property worth $1,500,000 more. So I made $1,500,000 over a 2 year period of time with none of my own money in the deal. And after I did that and I showed it to the banker, bank president, he goes, man, why didn't you just ask me for the money? I said, well, look, my credit cards are charging me 0% interest for 6 months. The average interest rate of all the cards I'm using is 4%. The guy said to me, that's insane. Here's what I want to do for you. And they sat down with me and said, look, I own 9 companies at the time. He said, I'm going to give each one of your companies a line of credit of $100,000. And then I'm going to give you a personal line of credit of $100,000. So in total, you can access up to $1 million at any time. And I said, well, what are you going to charge me with that? He said, prime minus a half a point. Now listen to what I said. Prime, whatever everybody else is borrowing at, minus a half a point. Because I was that good of a credit risk. I hope I said the correct words for that. The bottom line is I had almost an 800 credit score. I think it was like 780 or something like that. I had never missed a payment on any bill I've ever had. I had massive amount of debt, you know, with these 9 different companies all owning real estate. There was massive amount of mortgage debt. And they saw that, how I controlled it. And at that point, I never had a problem ever again getting money. I could borrow it straight from the banks. Or what was happening was I was now becoming so famous from doing all these crazy real estate deals, which is why I did them, to prove that I had some talent, some skills. People wanted to get into deals with me. And so people started giving me money. And when I say giving me money, they weren't giving me money. What they were doing was investing in my deals. And it became very easy to raise capital to do deals. Once you get to that level, once you become a syndicator, right? Now, I started with partnerships. I get one guy, hey, what do you want to buy? Can you put about $1 million to work for me? Okay, let's go do some stuff here. This guy here, like, I'm going to put, $2 million to work with you. Okay, we go do something larger, whatever it was. Sometimes I'd have 3 or 4 people together. Say, hey, let's go do something. Okay, I'll put you 2 guys, 3 guys together. We'll go do something. These were all just kind of partnership deals. They weren't really syndications. Syndicating didn't really occur until much later when we brought in guys into our group that were bankers, that were really, really high-end guys that knew how to do all this high-end stuff. I didn't know how to do it, but I learned it. As soon as they came and said, hey, here's what you should be doing, I said, okay, well, let's do that then. And then everybody understood how to do it. And then I started teaching syndications, and then syndications got hot. Then my students and my employees who learned this stuff and learned it intimately became good at it, or at least they understood it well enough that they could talk to people that didn't understand it and teach them. So 2 or 3 of my students slash employees went out and started their own real estate training programs all over the country. And there it have it. All of a sudden, syndications are the biggest thing in the United States. It's just, then they changed the rules and the laws and said that you can actually raise capital without going to sophisticated or without going to accredited investors, by doing crowdfunding. So people could put in X number of dollars into a deal that didn't even have to be either sophisticated, in other words, know exactly what they're doing, have some sophistication in the business, which is what we teach people at Lifestyles, how to be sophisticated so you can get into these deals even though you're not accredited, or they had to be accredited, right? And it's interesting because it grew so fast that they forgot much of the training. What did they forget? These guys went out there and showed people how to syndicate. What did they not teach them? How to operate the properties. So now we've got all these people all over the country buying all these properties. They have no idea what they're doing. Lifestyles, on the other hand, kept a set of rules and practices in place called the white paper, that if you wanted to do a deal and be a part of our group, you had to agree to follow this set of rules, simply because it protected the people involved to some degree of not being taken advantage of. That doesn't mean that if you're an idiot and you can't operate a property, or you're lazy and you won't operate your property, that doesn't mean you can't lose money on a deal at Lifestyles. It just means the starting point of how the deals are set up is fairer and safer than outside deals. And when we had this big disaster this last 18 months, we've had 6 months of good stuff now, but, 2 years ago, when this 18-month period started 2 years ago, a lot of people lost all their money because they didn't know what they're doing. Easy to get a deal done, hard to make it work. All right, hope you learned something today, and remember, always, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.